What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up, that would be your work week right here on B&E, your Tuesday. Hope you enjoyed some downtime. We were out Friday and yesterday celebrating the 4th of July. Now here we are on the 5th of July, and it's back to it with a lot going on. Talking all things college football, the ever-changing face, the TV wars that are driving change in college football. I know some saying it's not for the best, but it is what it is at this point. Fox and ESPN trying to build mega conferences, and we'll continue to revisit that. Does it impact Texas and Oklahoma and their ability to get out of the Big 12 sooner, potentially? So we'll get back into that. Also, Longhorn recruiting, Longhorn baseball, soccer with the Austin FC. A lot going on, and the Buck is back. And you got to see Jurassic Park. I didn't even know there was a new Jurassic Park in movie theaters.
It's obviously – I'm not saying it's obviously. I think it's hopefully the last one, but – because now the dinosaurs are amongst us, Zay. And like Central Park on a leash, they got little dinosaurs on a leash walking them like they're dogs and stuff. But I don't know what else Steven Spielberg can do. I just don't.
What you mean? They're on like the 15th Star Wars spinoff.
I know. That's what I'm saying. As long as it makes money, it's not going
to
end.
Jurassic World Dominion is what you got to see.
My wife went to see Dominion. She watches out those things. I will not go to that. I know I don't want a bunch of F-bombs being thrown, and there will be none in Minions, but there is nothing about the Minions that will make me sit for 2 hours. There's nothing. I'll watch the Hallmark Channel for a whole day straight before I go see a Minions movie. Those little
what's the Minions?
Those little things that make all those
Jurassic
noise.
The Jurassic movie's called Dominion.
I know. Yeah, I mean,
what's
that's
the Minions? I don't even
Minions,
know what that
you don't
is.
Know those
it's the animated
stuff that you
the
like.
The little banana-looking things.
They're like a little thumb or something.
Yeah, they're annoying like as hell.
A little turd turned yellow.
Oh.
That make all kinds of weird little sounds. No, I will not. My wife goes to that. She's seen them all.
The Minions?
Yeah.
I got to look that
up. She's probably buying two waters and popcorn there for $25. $25.
Okay, there's Minions.
Minions are a spinoff of something. Somebody will tell us. There's an original movie that the Minions came
the
from.
The Turds.
The Rise
the
of Turds. Guru. Of
Gru. Gru. Gru, or whatever the name is.
How do I not know this is happening?
No, you used to watch all those. You used to go
no,
see
not Tor Minions.
You were a Tour Story guy. You saw all of those.
Oh, I've seen every Pixar movie with my kids because they, you know, they're all older now. But when Toy Story, that's the entire, four Toy Story, you know, what do you call that?
I've not seen one
run?
Of them still.
Oh, so
I've not seen one Toy Story.
Minions, though, I don't know what that is.
Say, have you seen a Toy Story?
Look like emoji.
Yeah, of course.
You have?
Yes.
You ain't got no damn kids. And you ain't got, you weren't like a what little baby at that time, were you?
Toy Story came out, what, 95, 94?
Oh, you
Tom right Hanks, now. Tim Allen, classic.
Where were you, like 12? You went, I mean.
No, I was like 3 or 4, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
They actually
so
Pops took you to see that, or your mom took you?
I don't know about all that.
I know CC ain't take you to see that stuff.
He definitely ain't take me to see that.
Yeah, Toy Story was 95. And now there's one Buzz Lightyear's out, the actual Buzz Lightyear film.
See, they just keep making spinoffs.
Well, because, and the great thing of those animated films, when they're done well, there's just a new cycle of kids that want to see them all. So you run them back out. You run it back. And you keep running
it back.
The reason that guy Walt Disney did well, because there's always a new batch of kids that want to see the Pixar films, and certainly back in the day.
And let me just say this: there's nothing like a dinosaur eating a bad guy. The way that crunches when they go down, and I love that. That's the part I like. When the dinosaur gets the bad guy, the T-Rex gets loose. When T-Rex gets loose, it's nasty.
I'm still salty they ate Newman in the first one.
Yeah.
This says spinoff from Despicable Me. Despicable
That's
Me
it.
Is what it is. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, so a lot of KD conversation coming in on the text line as well. Kevin Durant, that would be. He has demanded a trade. This is another, to me, just, I think all y'all agree, this the, it's just like, who's advising Kevin Durant? I mean, who's
Kevin
he
Durant
to that says, hey, yeah, don't do this. You're the one that demanded your way out of, I mean, remember when he jumped from Oklahoma City to Golden State after being in the finals? And it was a team that seemed like it was on the cusp of winning a title, and he bolted for the team that had won the title.
Yeah, like, I'd like to see him just win with some scrubs.
Well, at least try. I mean, you can't be in a perfect
like,
situation
I don't
every
scrubs.
Time.
You can't do it. He wants to go with Jimmy Butler.
Well, and but what's going to end up happening is Kevin's in his early 30s now. He's going to go down as an all-time great scorer and a great all-time player. But, you know, legacies are made on what Steph Curry just did, right? You know, on what Magic Johnson did with the Lakers, on what LeBron James has done. Kobe Bryant, you lead. You lead a team.
KD you have to like KD to be on a team with him. If he doesn't like you, he's not going to work with you. He's going to pout.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to whine and put his backpack on.
And it almost seems like
and
it's
run
not,
to the theater to see Minions. That's what he's going to do.
Well, and
he doesn't like that challenge.
And he's passive aggressive in that, you know, he wouldn't stand up to Russell Westbrook in their days in Oklahoma City when, you know, Russell Westbrook would take the shots late. And it's like, hey, yo, I mean, you got to be the alpha in that moment and say, give me the ball in these moments. And he wouldn't. And he was passive aggressive with Russell Westbrook to the end when he bolted. He's like, and Russell Westbrook, what? Where are you going? Like, I thought we were good, Kevin. Oh,
Zay,
no, no.
Zay, if he doesn't like you, they got to get rid of him, right? They got to get rid of the guy that KD doesn't like, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the top players in the league, so he gets a say, but... Yeah, going back to that Russell Westbrook thing, that's a Kobe Bryant sabotage right there. Back when they played for the Olympics in 2012, Kobe was throwing in Westbrook's ear, hey, you should be the man on the team, because Kobe knew that he had to go play OKC and get past them with the Lakers. So, well, yeah, you can blame Kobe Bryant for that one.
Well, you can read online just the behind the scenes. Even the ownership and the leaders of the Brooklyn Nets are like, really? Like, we gave you everything y'all wanted. Like, I mean, we you know.
How we even let you talk about the coach is no good.
Oh,
we don't need a coach.
I mean, Kevin Durant, look, Brooklyn, we talked last week about the new commissioner of the Big 12, right? He was with the Brooklyn Nets. He helped engineer the move from New Jersey to Brooklyn and get the Barclays Center built and all those things we talked about with Brett Yormark, the new head of the Big 12. But, you know, they bent over backwards. Oh, you want KD? Oh, KD, what do you want? I want Kyrie. Okay, KD and Kyrie. But we don't like this coach, so we want – actually had a really good coach. So let's go get Steve Nash, who's never coached before. But we like him, so he's going to be our coach. Let's go get James Harden. Okay, they went and got James Harden. And then that didn't work, and then he's out. Well, let's get Ben's – I mean, it's – and now you want out. I mean, it's like I know, like, the tail wags the dog in the NBA, but if you're going to wag the dog and you're going to be the tail, then you have to back it up. You can't – the moment it gets tough,
no,
you
that
can't –
that dude just don't
can't.
Like the fleas that come with the dog. That's what he doesn't want.
It's very similar to LeBron James, right? Now, look, LeBron has built his legacy. LeBron has won championships. LeBron won a title in Cleveland, won titles in Miami. I don't think he's going to win titles in Los Angeles. But last offseason –
but he's won a title in Los Angeles.
Think about last year. Last offseason, LeBron James – the organization wanted to trade for Bradley Beal. They were trying to get a player of that ilk. Buddy Hield was a guy that they were after to help improve the team. And it was LeBron James' camp that pushed for Russell Westbrook. Go get Russell Westbrook. That's who we need. Well, everyone knew that was a bad idea. Everyone who watches basketball knew that was a bad fit, but it's what LeBron wanted. They went and got him, and when it didn't work out, now LeBron's AWOL. LeBron's like has no ownership of it. And even Jeannie Buss. Do you see Jeannie Buss over the weekend, the owner? She's tweeting about how much she misses Kobe Bryant and Kobe Bryant's ability to lead, and it's a direct shot at Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It is... I mean, there's a point in the NBA where the tail wagging the dog gets over the top. Like, players want to run the show, but then players have to take ownership for it when the show doesn't work. Right? I mean, they have to.
They can't bail in 2 years.
I know. I mean, you sign a mega contract. They do everything they can do to appease the player because the players matter. And I'll ask you this. Before we get to the headlines, I want to ask you this for our Dallas Mavericks fans. Should the Dallas Mavericks be interested in Kyrie Irving? Because the report...
Hell no.
No?
Hell no. Not just no. Hell no.
Just for even for 1 year since he's on the
hell
back?
No. No.
Don't do it?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. There's a lot of talk in Dallas.
That would change Lucas somehow. That would screw him up.
Well, like, Kyrie demands the ball in his hands. Kyrie has to have the ball in his hands for him to be successful. He takes up like 20 seconds of the shot clock, putting on a dribbling clinic. And what is Luka going to do, stand on the side? No, the offense runs through Luka. He's been a three-time first-team All-NBA player. Luka is the face of the league in the upcoming next 10 seasons. Do not put Kyrie Irving on that team.
Interesting, because there are folks in Dallas pushing for that. Because, again, if you make it a trade for him, it's only a one-year thing. If it doesn't work... You can let him go, and you won't probably have to give up much to get him because you know, but the other talk is he's in L.A. and he wants to be a Laker. And think about that, that Kyrie Irving couldn't get along with LeBron James the first time in Cleveland when they won a title. The town wasn't big enough for the both of them. Now they may need each other in Los Angeles because LeBron's looking at it saying, well, Kyrie with myself and Anthony Davis, if we're healthy, could be formidable. But they're still not beating the Golden State Warriors, I don't think, when it all matters.
All right. It all matters. Texas has that big son of a gun, Mitchell.
Let's get to that.
East Coast.
Let's get to that. Headlines, trending topics. There's a lot of them, including some developing news over the weekend from the 40 Acres. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start with Texas baseball. Get to the football in a minute, but it does appear David Pierce has finalized the rebuild of his coaching staff. Word over the weekend that Texas is going to, has targeted longtime major leaguer Woody Williams to replace Sean Allen as the team's pitching coach. Of course, Allen was dismissed the day after the 2022 season ended in the College World Series. 14 years a major leaguer, the 55-year-old Williams has spent the last 6 years as the pitching coach at San Jacinto Junior College, has helped develop 15 pitchers who were selected into the MLB draft. Of course, back on Thursday, reports surfaced that David Pierce had added former Baylor Bears head coach Steve Rodriguez to the staff as the team's hitting coach. So Woody Williams is pitching coach, Steve Rodriguez as hitting coach, it appears, will be the new staff for David Pierce. Texas football, Longhorns have added another big piece to their 2023 recruiting class. Came down on Sunday night with the commitment of four-star defensive lineman Sadir Mitchell from Bergen, New Jersey, Bergen Catholic High, 6'5", 335 pounds. Picked the Longhorns over Georgia, Texas A&M, and Miami. Cited a strong relationship with Texas D-line coach Bo Davis. He is the 18th overall commitment in the 2023 class. Soccer, Austin FC, how about them? They rallied from an early 2-0 deficit to beat Colorado 3-2 in Denver. Colorado scored two goals in the first 25 minutes, but the FC, Austin FC, had even the game by halftime at 2-2. And then early on in the second half, it was a goal from Maxi Uridi. And the Austin FC improves to 10-4-4. They win it 3-2, 34 points, second most in the entire MLS. Major League Baseball, yesterday on Independence Day, Astros won their seventh straight, beat Kansas City 7-6. Jordan Alvarez with the walk-off game winner with two outs in the ninth. Houston's won 15 of 18. Rangers lost at Baltimore 7-6. Round Rock celebrated Independence Day with a 5-3 win over Albuquerque. And yes, Joey Chestnut is the winner again. Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest, the GOAT. Joey Chestnut, 63 hot dogs and buns for the winner. On the women's side, it was Miki Sudo downing 40 wieners and buns to take the women's crown.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
I wonder for Joey, does everything taste like a hot dog to him in a soggy-ass bun?
Does he taste anything?
Does he taste anything, or does everything he put in his mouth... Sort of like when you get COVID and you lose your taste, E. I wonder if everything's like the same for him. Like everyone, when he goes out to dinner and has a steak, it tastes like a damn hot dog in a bun. Gross.
And that's what I wonder. Does he eat hot dogs? Is this the only time he eats hot dogs?
Only got to be the only. Doesn't he have to practice? Zay,
you got to practice. You got to train.
You got to train for this, right?
Yeah, you got to get the reps in. It's all about the reps.
Got to get the reps.
Which I thought that's why he had the hurt foot, because he has the gout.
Is that right?
From eating all that
meat.
That's
what I thought.
He's got the gout.
Drinking all that wine and eating all that hot dog.
He's got the gout. Yeah, he's on crutches. And then he gave some dude.
I bet you that dude eats a bunch of tacos.
Ooh.
Man.
You know, competitive eaters. This is top of the line. Hey, it's 7:15 on this Tuesday. Let's dive into your coach's corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. AVConsultations.com is the way to do it with Tom McKay and his great team, AV Consultations. We've got that great media room up in the front, Buck. That's where I watch all my sports over the weekend. And, I mentioned I saw the movie Coda, which was Best Picture, the Child of a Deaf Adult. Very good movie. Also was watching a Pearl Jam documentary yesterday. Yeah, I was all into the music documentaries over the weekend with some downtime. Whatever you're doing, get Tom McKay out there to get your TV watching, your audio, your visual, everything you need.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of Tiger yesterday.
Ooh, 77.
Around. Dude's still limping around.
Tiger's in Ireland.
He's going to be okay when he gets to the Open, though.
Tiger is in Ireland, and he carded a 77. He's playing in a Pro-Am, the J.P. McManus.
Nice digs for J.P.
Yeah.
What a place.
In Limerick, Ireland.
And they do that for free. How about that?
Well, that's not the live tour then.
No. Tiger and all the guys come near and help out parts of Ireland by coming there. and playing these guys in a pro-am. I wonder what that pro-am must cost you to be a part of that deal.
Well, obviously,
JP's friend's got some cash.
Well, if you're following the golf world, the interesting story is that Tiger is playing in this, and this is a tune-up for him because he's going to play in the British Open, the Open Championship.
Yeah, it's a two-day event. He's going after today. He's heading over
to the old
St. Andrews, yeah.
And he's trying to get his game back in shape. He, of course, didn't play at the U.S. Open, gave it a run at the PGA Championship, but had to withdraw after finishing the Masters, the four big majors. But, you know, it's interesting because the PGA Tour has a partnership with essentially the European Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend is the Scottish Open, right? You have the Scottish Open right into the British Open. And the Scottish Open has a field that features 14 of the top 15 players in the world. Scottie Scheffler's playing in it. I mean, this is going to be really a good two weekends of golf at the Scottish Open and then the British at the Old Course, which will include Tiger Woods. So interesting that this normally you don't see a lot of big names playing in the Scottish Open a week ahead of the Open Championship.
No.
But this was different deal because it's a joint venture this time around with the PGA Tour as well involved and the DP World Tour.
And all those guys, and there are a bunch of guys on the LIV Tour that are at JP's deal doing that are playing that are like, and believe me, there's some friction there.
The friction?
Oh, yeah. At the
the LIV?
At the driving range doing some warm-up.
That's going to be the really interesting part because you know there's hard – the players on the PGA Tour are not happy with the players who have jumped to the LIV Tour and are taking the cash. And they're going to be playing and guess what? There is there's a court hearing this week because the Scottish Open is not allowing the LIV players to play.
Right.
And they're suing to be able to play as independent contractors. We'll see where that goes. I mean, that's got to play out this week in the world of golf.
Say, and Tiger got off the helicopter in cargo shorts to go into the hotel or the castle or whatever it is. And I wasn't down with that. I'm like, dude, come on now.
With the pockets?
Yeah.
To store things in?
Yeah, the cargo shorts?
Yeah.
Damn.
Came off the helicopter. I'm like, come on, just wear some gear.
His hat on backwards. He had the cargo shorts
on. Oh, yeah. Had his girl with him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's the world of golf. And did you see over the weekend on a good, bad, and ugly, you can decide whether this is good, bad, and ugly. One of the PGA players who bolted to the LIV Invitational is a guy named Pat Perez. Perez. Okay. Kind of journeyman on the PGA Tour. Whatever they paid him to go. That dude made $900,000. This weekend, $900,000.
Just playing.
He was on the winning team. And he shot, how about this, on Saturday, the final round, he was shot an 80.
What is he, Tiger?
He shot an 80.
He went Tiger, shot an 80?
Pat Perez with his mullet shot an 80 and won $900,000. And you want to know why these guys are taking the money and running to play? This guy's a journeyman, 46 years old. This guy weighed $900,000 in one weekend for shooting 80. Thank you very much.
Damn.
Thank you very much, Pat. Okay, so we've got the golf. We've got Texas baseball. What do we make of this coaching staff? Woody Williams. It's safe to say David Pierce didn't get his first choice.
No.
And some would even say his second choice of pitching coach. And it's not a negative on Woody Williams. I enjoyed watching Woody Williams pitch. He's from right near where I grew up in Houston. He went to Cy Fair High School and then played 14 years in Major League Baseball. You always hear crafty lefty, remember that? But Woody Williams is a crafty righty. He wasn't an overpowering pitcher. He topped out in the low 90s, but he played 14 years, won 132 games in Major League Baseball. And went to the University of Houston, finished his Major League career. He's got a big family, but he's gone back to coaching, and he was at San Jacinto Junior College where he developed as many as 15 players and pitchers, develop them that got drafted into the MLB draft. And that's really what this becomes for Texas, right? They're in a different spot. And part of the reason David Pierce made these changes is, you know, they're going to need development because they're going into the Southeastern Conference. They're going to have a fresh new roster, essentially, and they've got a lot of young players that need to improve. They need development. And so you go get the former Baylor head coach Steve Rodriguez, former major leaguer himself, and Woody Williams brings the major league experience and now 6 years of coaching at the junior college level to Texas. And you know, obviously you got to trust David Pierce that he knows where he's headed, taking this thing. But
obviously he had a plan. I mean, if the things didn't work out, I mean, this wasn't an overnight thing for David Pierce.
Well, Frank Anderson was the first choice.
Sure. Everybody knows that.
And when Sean Allen was let go as they left Omaha, Frank Anderson was the target. He is the current pitching coach at Tennessee, but he decided to stay at Tennessee. He's got a loaded pitching staff there. They were number one in the country all year long. Didn't make it to Omaha, but a lot of those great arms come back next year to Knoxville. So Frank declined. And it's Woody Williams who gets this gig. Now, look, we haven't heard anything from David Pierce since the College World Series. Everything has been reports and behind the scenes and nothing official from the baseball program. But it does appear it's going to be Steve Rodriguez as the hitting coach coming in where he was let go at Baylor, but was a well-liked player, a well-liked coach at Baylor, just didn't win enough. But, you know, is his forte hitting? And the other thing they need, Buck, is recruiting. I mean, you've got to, you know, they move Philip Miller into a new capacity, and we'll hear from David Pierce on what that's going to be in the reshuffling of this staff. But, you know, I believe that's going to be the transfer portal, right? You need essentially with the number of players, the volume of players that are in the transfer portal
sure. In
baseball, really in any sport, you really need a full-time person who's devoted to the transfer portal, evaluating players.
Not just recruiting for the portal itself.
And here's what you need. You in baseball now, and I think in most any sport, the coaches would tell you, here's the biggest challenge. Not only do you have to recruit for the future, you have to be able to recruit the portal, but you have to build relationships with your own players to keep them out of the portal, right? So you need almost need a relationship coach who continues to recruit the players who are here and make sure that they're getting the attention that they are
absolutely
needing. So it almost takes a full-time person to, and maybe that's not even enough, but you have to continue to re-recruit your own players, because with the ability to move, they can jump in the portal anytime they want, right, and be gone. And Steve Sarkisian has talked about this. I mean, you really have to devote a lot of time to personal relationships and making sure the players, even at the bottom of your roster, feel the love, right? Feel like they're getting the attention they're seeking, because guess what? They'll go get it somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's what worries me about college football and all the NIL stuff is,
yep,
when are you going to get to the point where you may, your integrity as a coach, you may have to give in to what you've done for certain players and what you've said to their parents. You're going to have to look yourself in the mirror and say, what's best for the team and what deals have I made?
It's true.
Because, I'm not naive to think that, it's about the best player, but you've made some deals with certain people for a certain amount of money that are you going to forget what's best for the team or are you going to worry about your integrity of what you've said to somebody's parents? I mean, when is that going to come into play? That's going to be the scary part to me about all this. NIL deals, if it's legal and you're doing it the right way and it's all above board, so be it. Go do it and continue to do it and do it the right way. But eventually, some of those deals that you've made deals. You've said things to parents that you may have to look at yourself and say, you know what? Is this really best for the team?
Yeah.
What have I done here? Well, but I had to get this guy, or I had to get these guys.
It's a full-time opportunity.
Yeah.
You have to continue to recruit your own players, develop your own. And you're into the portal trying to add pieces, and you're trying to recruit high school players and junior college players. I mean, it is a
big task.
And that's where I think we'll get official word from David Pierce at some point. But Philip Miller, who had been one of the paid assistants, I think he moves into a role that is like that, right? Developmental, recruiting, overseeing all of that, and the player movement. You got to have somebody in that role. And now you have a former head coach in Steve Rodriguez from Baylor. He's at Pepperdine before that. And now you bring in a former major leaguer in Woody Williams to help develop your pitching staff, which, you know, we'll see. Results will be the results as Texas has.
Well, you just hope that he still has that energy that he showed as a major leaguer, you know, and then go get him, because at 55, it's not a young man jumping into this game.
The fact that he was coaching 6 years at the
junior college level, yeah,
would tell you he has a passion for it, right? You don't
for sure.
Do that, and you don't like helping young people and develop pitchers and develop players. He didn't have to do that. I mean, he's like Troy Tulowitzki. He didn't make as much money as Troy in the big leagues, but he made a lot of money playing Major League Baseball, Woody Williams did. He obviously likes to coach, likes to help develop players, and the results were pretty good at San Jacinto Junior College, the power down there in the Houston area. We'll come back when we do your thoughts on that. Also, more on the bombshell from the West Coast. USC and UCLA are bolting to the Big Ten. What does it mean for college football? What does it mean for the Pac-12? What does it mean for Texas and Oklahoma? We'll talk about it all coming back. B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&A with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Extended into the Independence Day holiday yesterday. Hope you got some fireworks, some fun. Maybe some barbecue or a hot dog or something. Maybe around at the Del Diamond watching the Express beat Albuquerque. They had a good fireworks display that night. Maybe you're down at Auditorium Shores watching the fireworks. I didn't get to see any fireworks last night, Buck.
I just heard them. They did a good job in my neighborhood. It's very dry out.
Yes.
And so I'm glad, as I said, I'm glad the neighbors and the youngsters in my area decided to take it to the street and not in the backyard, because there's nothing but wood out there. Nothing. And it is dry wood.
Be careful.
Man.
And triple digit conditions continue.
And they didn't last through the night. They just, they did it for like a hard hour, say, bang, 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 bang. Probably some of it was real gunshots out back.
Hey, now.
Serious. But, I live out in the country now, but it was gone. And when they stopped, they stopped. There was no lingering effects at 1 o'clock, like where I used to live when I was the mayor.
Oh, in the little Cedar hamlet. Valley.
Or in Cedar Valley. That stuff went on until 3 o'clock.
They were at it.
The dog was still howling at 3.
It's probably good it was a Monday, because most people had to go back to work today, so you right. Stay up too late,
and I think
fireworks.
And I think the youngsters, appreciated folks had to go to work, which I was very appreciative of. So, thank you very, very much.
Zay, did you see any fireworks, or you were?
Yeah, I saw a couple.
Good. Good. I didn't. We actually went down into Buda. They had a red, white, and Buda thing with a free concert and Shiny Ribs and Jack Ingram and playing some music. But we left before the fireworks got going. It was
Jack
time to
still
go to
hitting
bed.
It hard out
Jack
there on
Ingram,
the road.
Yeah, I mean he tours not as much as he used to. I mean,
his kids are older now. I mean, he got teenagers now.
His kids are older. He's he did the Jack Ingram recently did the deal with Miranda Lambert and John Randall, the Marfa tapes, which did very well. I think it won some Grammys. That was pretty cool. Of course, Miranda Lambert, I think, carried most of that that deal, but it was good. And then he does the Mac Jack and McConaughey thing. But yeah, he was the headliner at the event in Buda, which was fun. But no, but we were gone before the dark, so time to go to bed. Time to go to sleep. Hopefully you had a good weekend, though. And obviously the weekend started with the shocking news for a lot of people in college football that USC and UCLA are bolting to the Big Ten. And as we said off the top, I mean, this is... Sure, it's surprising, but it shouldn't be, I guess, if you're paying attention. This is a TV battle. ESPN owns the SEC, and the Fox TV owns the Big Ten, right? That's their contract. And so the response to Texas and Oklahoma bolting to the SEC to make that a mega conference was this. The Big Ten responding by adding USC and UCLA, making it a coast-to-coast conference, and making it a massive, massive revenue generator for all the schools, because you add Los Angeles, two schools in L.A., to what you were already doing in the Big Ten. How about this? I was reading this from a guy who writes for the Oregonian, John Canzano, who is covering it from the Oregon angle. Like, how does Oregon actually respond to this? How do the other schools that are now left in the wake? He talked to a former Fox Network executive named Bob Thompson, who said, here's what he told John Canzano of the Oregonian. He says, Pac-12, they just lost their largest TV market in L.A. and ostensibly lost San Diego, Santa Barbara, and Palm Springs. They're gone, too. He said, prior to the desertion, Thompson anticipated the Pac-12 would land a deal in the neighborhood of $500 million per year, which then would be divided among the 12 teams. He said, taking Los Angeles out and the two schools in L.A., it's down to $300 million per year, which is a $200 million hit.
Wow.
Take that 300, divide it by the remaining 10, and that's what they're going to have to live on. And think about this. His same estimate is that by going to the Big Ten, the next TV deal for the Big Ten will be in excess of $1 billion. $1 billion divided among the 16 teams now. And if they were to add Notre Dame, which is kind of the next domino that some think will drop, because Notre Dame sees the writing of where this thing's going and they need to get into a conference. And I know they're already aligned with the ACC, but they could make their move into the Big Ten. And I was reading, Buck, with some TV executives that maybe they could bring the NBC along with them. Like, because Fox's battle is with ESPN, right, for the power structure of college football. And would Fox be willing to bring Notre Dame into the fold, to make them a part of the whole package, but allow the Notre Dame game still to air on NBC? And cut NBC into the deal.
That's quite a deal.
Oh, my gosh. Because NBC can't, if you're dividing over $1 billion among your schools, each school is estimated in the Big Ten with the new package, including USC and UCLA, the revenue would be over $100 million annually, which for USC last year, that was $30 million. Now it's going to be over $100 million. I don't even think Notre Dame can turn that down. NBC can't pay him $100 million.
Lincoln, that can buy a lot of players.
But so this is Fox battling with ESPN. And as I say, you know, this is a no-brainer for USC and UCLA. It's smart on their part to be a part, because you have to be in one of these power conferences if you want to be relevant 5 or 10 years from now in college football. That's why Texas and U.S. and Oklahoma left to join the Southeastern Conference. The next thing for me is, as I said earlier, could the Big 12 be aggressive with their new commissioner and go after, you know, four schools out of the Pac-12, maybe more? You know, respond to Texas and Oklahoma leaving by adding Arizona and Arizona State, and go to Denver and add Colorado back and welcome them back into the Big 12. Go get Utah, which isn't a huge TV market, but to be with BYU, you've got the regional, you've got the whole West Coast, Western flank of your Big 12 conference. And, you know, some would even argue, be aggressive and go after Oregon and Washington. Why stop at those four? Go for six.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you're a 16-team league that goes coast to coast. And your new TV deal becomes maybe the third largest behind the Big Tens, the SECs, and now the Big 12, or whatever they rebrand themselves. But you would join the Big Ten and being a coast-to-coast league where you're playing, you have teams in every time zone.
Well, can somebody tell me that Stanford is just a nobody in this play?
Yes.
I mean, they are.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, I think Stanford is, I mean, because that becomes the thing. And by the way, that John Canzano article, the headline is Pac-12 gut punch comes with a cost. And that's where the Pac-12 is. They're down to 10 teams after 2024. And if the Big 12 were aggressive, they could pilfer the rest. And, you know, there's some on the West Coast who think a team like Cal or Stanford, they might just, you know, join with the San Diego States of the world and the Mountain West and just be in the lesser tier conferences and be academic schools as they are and not try to compete in the arms race of college football. Because if you're not in one of the top conferences, you're not one of those top 40 or 50 teams, 60 teams, whatever it might be. You know, that's going
to
be
Your fan base and your alums are going to go nuts.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get to the Rose Bowl anymore. You're trying to get to the, I don't know.
Yeah, well, obviously the
Sugar Bear Bowl or something. I mean, my God.
Well, but you know what that'll be. If they get to 64 teams, let's just say there are four 16-team conferences.
Oh, you're going to be out anyway.
Guess
yes.
What? It's going to be a bigger playoff. I mean, the bowl games, I guess, will still matter. The local municipalities can still put on a bowl game, but it's the NFL light. I mean, it's going to be about playoffs. It's going to be, you know, think about it, Buck. If you have 16 teams in each conference, and each team has a conference championship game, right? So there's four conference championship games with eight teams. Those four make the Final Four. Those four play it off for the championship. I mean, you start with 64 teams. It's all about winning your conference at that point. It's all about winning the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC and the ACC. If you win that conference, you then are automatically
right
into the playoff, and you are automatically playing for a national championship. That's where it's headed. I think that's what the TV networks want, and if you're not paying attention, it's the TV networks that are driving all of this.
They want to like basketball.
Well, what's that?
They want to like basketball?
Sure. Well, and the haves and have-nots. I mean, literally, when you think about the new TV deal for the Big Ten is going to net each school $100 million compared to in the Pac-12, $300 million total. Like, each school will be making a third of what the entire Pac-12 conference is going to bring in, the remaining Pac-12, on a new TV contract if they stay as they are. I mean, that's, you talk about have and have not. I mean, it's not even close. And you're competing against a Goliath when you're not. But that's the interesting part for me locally is, can the Big 12 with a new commissioner be aggressive? Because they really, from 1 year ago when they were staggered by the decision of Texas and Oklahoma to leave and they were on life support as a conference, 1 year later, they could be aggressive and go add schools.
Or they could still be on life support.
Well, or they'll get sucked up. I mean, because there are people talking about merging with the Pac-12. If I'm the Big 12, I want no part of a merger with the Pac-12. They're the wounded conference right now. Go after what's there. And here's the best part. If you're in the Big 12 or in Big 12 leadership, the former commissioner Larry Scott was such a disaster. They're all free agents. After 2024, there's no penalty. You can add Arizona, Arizona State. You can add Colorado, Utah, Oregon. And they're all free agents. They have no allegiance to a Pac-12 right now. They're up in 2024. That's why USC and UCLA are able to go and join the Big Ten as soon as they are, which is 2024. because every school in that conference is a free agent. So if you're the Big 12, don't merge. Go get them.
No, go get them.
Go get them. Add them. And then when you sit down to negotiate your new TV deal, now you're a 16-team conference that goes coast to coast. And no, you're not going to make $100 million a school like the Big Ten's going to, but you can make $50 million, $60 million on your new TV deal, and you can get a bidding war going between, you know, whether it's Fox, whether it's ESPN, you get somebody else involved. That's what this new commissioner was brought in to do, coming from media and entertainment, to rebrand the conference and reposition them to make as much money as possible in the next media rights deal. Well, go be aggressive now.
That's true.
Go attack the remaining schools. And that drops all the way back to Texas, which could Texas and Oklahoma
get out.
Say, hey, new Big 12, go be aggressive. Let us go. Y'all do your thing. We'll negotiate a settlement. We'll get out of here. We'll go play in the SEC next year and get there as soon as possible. Because I do think the new commissioner is going to come in and say, guys, let's move on. We need to begin the rebranding process of what we're going to be, not be bickering over what has happened. Let's go be the big, you know, join the power and be aggressive. But we'll see. He's new to college football, so he's going to have to, and college athletics, he's going to have to get up to speed pretty quickly in that spot. So we'll see if that could get Texas and Oklahoma, even by 2024, right? Because 2025 is the stated get-out time. You know, could this expedite that by a year or even, you know, 2 years for Texas and Oklahoma?
I got to believe Texas and Oklahoma would like that too.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I think they'd like to get in the SEC as soon, for all reasons, right?
Sure.
If they're going aggressive and they're rebranding, because if I'm the new commissioner and I'm coming in and my job has been, because again, you're hired by the presidents of the universities, right? That's who's your boss. They've selected you and they've hired him for his vision. They've hired him for his ability to brand things and rebrand things and position. Well, you can't do that while you've got these two schools that are just kind of hanging around for a couple years until they get out.
And they're not going to be decision makers.
I mean, I could hear these meetings with these presidents saying, guys, we've got to move on. We've got to move to our future and let this thing play out where it needs to play out. 2023 or 24, let them go. Let's negotiate what's we can all live with, and let's get this thing going because we have a chance to really land in a really strong spot as maybe the third best conference and most power conference in college football if we're smart about it. All right, so that's where college football is, Big 12, SEC, Big 10, and where does the ACC land? What does Notre Dame do? Those will all be pending questions in the coming months for sure. On the wake.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, how stubborn can Notre Dame be from this point on?
I think anybody that is not in one of these Big Four or Big Three or Big Two, some would say, are going to be on the outside looking in. And I think even Notre Dame has to realize that.
And everybody wants you.
They've gotten to live with their independence, but NBC can't pay what the Big Ten's about to make.
No.
And because Fox and ESPN are in an arms race to control college football. All right, your thoughts on that in the future. Isaiah Collier, our tremendous producer, is coming up with the Hot or Not topics, things we've missed halfway through this Tuesday edition, plus some thoughts on Kevin Durant's demand. He wants out of Brooklyn, the latest drama involving the former Longhorn. Details on that coming on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Plenty of hot over the weekend. Obviously, temperatures blazing, and that's going to continue. My extended forecast says triple digits for the next 10 days at least. No rain in sight.
I got to get to the Farmer's Almanac about this fall, Ian, to
help us out here, Farmer.
Yeah, I'll figure that out here over the next couple of days. I need to get to that part.
Also hot, Joey Chestnut, Jaws, 63, the number of hot dogs eaten yesterday. He's the GOAT and the winner again. Astros have won 7 in a row and 15 of 18. Hottest team in baseball. They beat the Royals yesterday. Yordan Alvarez walked it off in the ninth with a 2-out home run. Also, Austin FC with another win. They won at Colorado 3-2. We'll have details on that. Come from Hind Fashion. We'll have the details on that coming up in our headlines.
And Jordan Spieth, what did he do?
Yeah, and this is on the not hot side. Jordan Spieth disqualified this morning over at the JP Pro-Am in Ireland.
Pro-Am.
Well, it turns out, it says here that Jordan Spieth, he picked up a putt on 15. Because I guess they're playing teams in the Pro-Am.
But the pros probably had to put him out.
He forgot that there was a solo portion to the event as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he's been DQ'd. He's
damn, Zay.
I guess he can,
picked up his ball, put it in his pocket.
Can't do that. Can't do it.
Oh.
So Jordan Spieth disqualified there. Scottish Open coming up this
weekend.
I don't
think there's money involved in this deal.
Yeah, it's a pro-am. What'd you say? It's a charitable deal?
Yeah, it's a charitable deal for I think, Northern Ireland or Eastern Ireland that they do this for.
It's in Limerick.
Yeah,
in Limerick, Ireland. Very beautiful spot. But Jordan Spieth, but he's still playing. He's been disqualified, but he's still playing because he's on a team. I don't know. You figure it out. But that's happening this morning on this Tuesday, 5 July. Zay, what you got for us in Hot or Not?
All right, fellas, Eve, pull up those DMs on Twitter, man, for the topic today. Debo Samuel, the do-it-all wide receiver for, well, I guess not the San Francisco 49ers since he's demanded a trade earlier this year, but Debo is getting a lot of grief on social media for snuffing the kid who wanted his autograph ball signed by the wide receiver, but it was a San Francisco ball, and Debo said, nah, I'm not going to sign it.
Chump.
So, yeah, here it is. Debo walks up to the guy.
Looks at the ball.
Kid looks right at him. He's got the ball and a marker in his hand. We're taking him 1 second to write Debo.
No, says 49ers on it. Can't do it.
Chump.
And that's what he said?
No, it's not what he said. It's just, if I'm Debo Samuel, that's what I'm thinking. Oh, that says 49ers on it? What will that say if I sign that ball?
Yeah, he wants a new contract. Obviously, Debo is one of the most productive players in the league.
So he wrote on the back of his jersey, Punk.
And he's looking at Tyreek Hill, looking at Devontae Adams getting their big deals. And, you know,
bring him to Dallas.
Debo?
Yeah.
Well, you got to sign him. I mean, you just traded Amari Cooper because he was.
Well, they do those deals all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how about that? Refusing to sign a young fan's autograph.
Now, the kid did get a picture with him, and they got to take a ball home at that camp.
He says now that he said we were told not to sign autographs. So told not to sign autographs by the organizers, because once you sign, then everybody's going to stop. You know how that goes. That's what he says.
Yeah.
He says he didn't refuse to. He was told not to.
I said, hey, kid, meet me over there. I'll sign this before I.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
This is still not as good as the NBA players that snuff the kids when they go to try to. I love those. You're not getting.
Oh, and they block the kid's shots at their own camp.
The kid tries to get the ball over those guys, and they slap it into the stands. I'm down with that every time. Do not let that kid get that ball up. Make him understand it's hard. It's going to be harder than that.
All right, Zay.
Every day in life, right, Zay? You like?
I mean,
that.
I'd rather have that than them dunking on the kid and crossing the kid
that's
over
even
and
better.
Making them fall.
That's even better. Cross them over and then slam on them, then block a shot, pin it to the backboard. I'm down with that.
Zay, we'll get back into the Kevin Durant demand and what that does for and his legacy and the conversation. But I want you to ask you this, in Hot or Not, because Sunday night, Jeannie Buss, right? She's owner of the Lakers. Her father, was the owner, and now she's in charge. And she went to Twitter and wrote the following on Sunday night: "I miss KB, KB being Kobe Bryant. He would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever," which is a big statement. "He understood team over self, meaning your rewards would come if you valued team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. All can reply." That's the owner of the team saying, "I miss Kobe Bryant because he was a team player. And he put team ahead of self." Who do you think that is addressed to and towards? Could it be LeBron?
Probably.
Could it
and
be
Anthony
LeBron?
Davis.
Anthony Davis?
Anthony. Oh, I'm hurt again.
Very interesting. Oh, Jeannie Buss.
Yeah, but LeBron and Anthony Davis, well, LeBron ain't going anywhere.
I mean, I would tell Jeannie Buss that Kobe did demand a trade when Shaq did leave, but
that's
her
true.
Dad was the owner then, so she probably doesn't remember.
And he did demand a trade. Wanted to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
If memory
serves. Wanted to go to Chicago. Then they were like, wait, Kobe, this is L.A. We'll get you somebody. Couple of calls to Memphis, then they get Pau Gasol.
I miss KB. Wow.
I miss him too!
Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. Is that true?
No.
I don't know. Y'all know how I feel about Magic.
Kareem?
I don't know.
Kareem, Magic, the logo. LeBron certainly is not.
No.
He does have a title there, though.
And he
the
does.
Bubble, the bubble title.
Kevin Durant. LeBron does have a title there.
Hey, we'll come back. Your thoughts on that. Zay's hot or not topic. Kevin Durant demanding a trade. And a lot of Longhorn news. Another big-time recruit for the Horns over the weekend. David Pierce finalizing his new coaching staff. All details coming. And the Kevin Durant conversation as well. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. We're always streaming for you. Take us wherever you go. On the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.